The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to William Hill's Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Thursday's racing on this edition of the podcast. You'll hear it all live with Andy Holding, John Babb and Gary Capewell in the studio. They'll be live from 12:20pm on Thursday. We have racing at Chepstow, Market Racing and Wincanton in the afternoon, and we'll finish the day with an all-weather fixture on the Poly Track at Kempton Park. Plenty of racing to look forward to. My name is Mark Walton and joining me in the studio is Mick Norton. How are you, Mick?
Yeah, good, thank you, Mark.
Plenty of racing to look forward to, Mick, and we're going to focus on the card at Kempton because it's quite a good card at Kempton on Thursday.
Yes, two good midweek racing cards at Kempton, featuring some really decent performers, good competitive stuff.
Yes, it is, and we'll look at that shortly. But before we do, some big jump racing coming up this weekend. We have the Betfair Chase at Haydock, which is shaping up to be a nice race. We've also got good racing at Ascot as well, so we're going to touch a little bit on a couple of stories related to those. And the first of which is that Gold Cup hero Bobsworth is warming up for Saturday's big one at Haydock. Apparently he's doing quite nicely, and he heads the betting as well. He's the 9-4 favourite at the time of recording. So Viniarco Conti 5-2, Dynast is 11-2, Q Card 7s, Tidal Bay 8s, Long Run, very disappointing on his reappearance, is 12-1, it's 14-1 for Roy Demy, and then 16-1 barring those. Bobsworth, we saw win the Gold Cup, Mick, at Cheltenham at the back end of last year, but Salviniaco Conti will never know how close he would have got to winning it because he fell, but he was travelling well, wasn't he? It should be a good rematch between the two.
Well, absolutely, and what you've got to bear in mind, Mark, as well, is that Bobsworth needed every yard of the 3.25 miles to win the Gold Cup last year. This is a bare 3 on a very flat track.
Yeah.
You just wonder whether at this time of year it's going to really play to his strengths, and you may be looking at maybe more of horses like Salviniaco Conti and Q Card, who might just be able to just get him at it and maybe have the legs of him over the flat 3 miles of Haydock.
So would you be siding with Salviniaco Conti on this occasion then?
I would think he would be very much his Gold Cup at this time of year, if you know what I mean. I think Paul Nicholls will certainly have him ready for it, and he had plenty of time to get over that fall. It was just an unfortunate one going flat out round Cheltenham. You do see it, don't you? Mm. And I wouldn't think his jumping would worry me. No, I think he and Q Card could well be the ones to shake up Bobsworth. I just don't think the track will play to his strengths.
Yeah, and Q Card in there at 7-1. You just mentioned him, Mick. A decent each way price about him. I see him being involved anyway.
Yeah, well, don't forget over hurdles. He nearly beat Bobsworth, trying to concede a penalty to him, didn't he? And that was a good effort. They've both gone their respective ways since then. I think he's well worth another try at 3 miles, and he might get a soft lead, which he likes, and who knows? I think he's definitely each way value.
Okay, good stuff. Ascot as well, good card Ascot on Saturday, and we might see a Willie Mullins runner there that we probably wouldn't have expected to see. Annie Power remains unbeaten. She could be anything, is the quote from the stable, and she's likely to go. Well, she might be going to the Coral Hurdle, which would be nice to see her over here, wouldn't it?
Yeah, she's got a very small penalty for her Grade One success, and which I think, combined with the that half penalty, if you like, plus the mayor's allowance, she's very well in. He's certainly done his homework on the race conditions, Willie, which I do like to see, and I know they think the world of her. Comparing her with Covega is probably a bit premature, but they've got a very similar profile at their respective ages, and the level of ability that this one's shown, I think Willie probably holds her in the same esteem as Covega.
Yeah, it's an interesting comparison in the racing post between the two. I mean, at this stage, Covega had been beaten, whereas Annie Power hasn't, and we all know how good Covega went on.
She'd only won 4/7, whereas Annie Power could well turn out to be better, couldn't she? Mm.
Which would be something, wouldn't it?
Just
if
a bit.
She turned out to be better than Covega, yes.
Absolutely.
So great racing to look forward to on Saturday. Anything else caught your eye, Mick, before we move on to Thursday's racing?
Well, it's just there's some good racing in Ireland as well, isn't there, at the weekend as well?
With Troy Town,
all the big guns are coming out now. Tofino Bay, of course, won the race last year. He fell early at Down Royal, but he's going to have the soft ground he needs, and he's certainly going to give it his best shot. Normie is well represented at his home track, and he's got Muirhead, Tom Horn, Cross Appeal and Please Talk, and he'd be absolutely delighted to have Carberry back to call upon his services as well. And good to see Paul back. And it just, when you look at the list in the of the jockeys, realise how much that we have missed Carberry. He's only just behind Peter Scudamore on the all-time winners list, isn't he? And we just forget how long he's been at it, Paul. But still as good as anybody on his day, isn't he?
Yes, yeah. I mean, they've published the figures because of McCoy reaching 4,000, and sixth in the list is Paul Carberry there. So that's no mean feat if you look at the jockeys in front of him as well. He's right up there, isn't he? So
absolutely
good to see him back in.
Fantastic
the
to watch as well. Paul presents his horses at his fences beautifully, and I wouldn't recommend any young fella trying to copy him, but he has got a unique way of doing it. But dear me, it works.
It was Paul Carberry on Monbeg Dude, wasn't it, in the Welsh National?
It was
when he produced
ride.
Him from absolutely nowhere and stayed on
what
to
a ride
win.
He gave him.
Very stylish jockey. Good to see him back. Right, let's move on. Let's move on to Thursday's racing. We've mentioned that it's a good card at Kempton on Thursday evening. Keeping us going all the way into the evening. We're going to look at three races there. The first of which is the 6:10, and this is Division 2 of this Class 4 handicap over a mile. And where do you want to start here, Mick?
Yes, well, the reason I chose this race, there are Class 3s, but I do think that the horse I'm going to go for, Indian Jack, is too interesting to ignore. He was third of 11 at Lingfield last time in quite a competitive looking handicap, and that was after 411 days off, Mark.
Yeah.
He's won off higher in the past. He's got plenty of form here at Kempton, and he's landed a good draw in stall 5 as well, and won 4 times in 2011. And he was trained by Luca Kamani in those days, and he found just too good for him, and two in-form improvers as well. That was a really good run. Looks too well handicapped to ignore from his good draw, and I think looks very solid in that Kempton 6:10 with his course and distance winning form. Dangers, Dixie's Dream, rates of danger. He's been beaten all 10 handicaps in the 80s, but he is in form, and he can also be relied upon to run his race. So, although I can't see him beating Indian Jack, he's very much of interest for place pot punters or on the place the pro market for a place or without the fav, whatever. But he won't be far away, but he does look vulnerable to better handicapped horses. The interesting one at the bottom is Thistle and Two Roses, trained by David O'Meara. Graham Gibbons is in the saddle. He won his maiden here over course and distance at Kempton for Andrew Balding. Hadn't done much since being bought out of Andrew's yard, but much better last time. And I think if he'd had a better draw, I'd have been maybe inclined to sort of make him, well, I think he still is probably the danger to Indian Jack, but I think that draw of 11 just tempers enthusiasm somewhat, but he certainly makes the shortlist. And whatever happens to him on Thursday, do keep an eye on this horse. He definitely took a step back in the right direction last time, Thistle and Two Roses. And Graham Gibbons didn't ride often, very often for David O'Meara. Danny Tudup can't do the weight, 8 stone 7, but Gibbons takes over. Big player, I would think. I'll be surprised if either of those two I mentioned, Dixie's Dream or Thistle and Two Roses, will be able to beat back to form Indian Jack.
Okay, on to the 6:40 next then. This is a handicap, it's the PCA Cup handicap, part of the London Middle Distance Series qualifiers. It's over a mile and 3 furlongs, and a good race to go here, Mick. Should we start with Castillo del Diablo, who's knocked on the door a couple of times, and a good effort last time when going down narrowly with the blinkers on for the first time, remain on this evening as well?
That's right. And that was 76 days ago, Mark. I just wonder why we haven't seen him since then, which did you know, held a return to form. But when you look back at the horses that he's run into this season, some pretty smart performers along the way, and he really seems to have taken a liking to Kempton Park, hasn't he? He's £2 higher for that second of 11 behind Catter Mountain at last time, but very much respected despite his outside box of 14. I know it's a mile and three, but it does prevent you from getting where you want to be in a race being parked out there.
Yeah.
That would be a concern to me. The top one, Open Eagle, he's interesting. Danny Tudor does ride this one for David O'Meara. He was a decent horse in France when he was trained by Jean-Claude Rouget, and has done really well since joining David O'Meara. Made a winning debut for the new yard at Carlisle in September. Excellent third in the November handicap last time, and plenty of all weather form when trained by Rouget. Same mark as that third of 23 behind Conduct, which is a bonus, I think. Still not many miles on the clock. I think he rates a danger to them all. But there might be a lurker in here, the lightly raced Lael, trained by Mark Johnson. Joe Fanning taking the rider's son, a Street Cry. He made a sparkling handicap debut to beat the long odds on Tweed a Neck, giving her weight at Wolverhampton. And, you know, for one so lightly raced, showed a really good attitude. £6 higher, Lael, but looks to be definitely going places. And I think Lael rates the danger to them all. I do respect Open Eagle and Castillo del Diablo, but I'm going to give the vote to Lael to continue his progress up the ranks.
Okay, Lael then in the 6:40, and onto the final race. We're going to look at the 7:10 at Kempton. This is a handicap over 7 furlongs, a class 2 handicap as well, a good handicap to look forward to. And Brown Sea Brink, Mick, racked up a hat trick earlier on in the year. The latest of those was of a mark of 86, then off this mark of 91 at Ascot last time, could only manage fifth behind Consign. Do you think that's a sign that maybe too high in the handicap now?
Yeah, I mean, it's even better than that, really, when you look at his overall. He's won 4 of his last 6, and yeah, just those 2 defeats in that last 6, including, as you said, at Ascot last time. Has got to be he's got to be respected, especially with his course and distance winning form as well, but could have fared better with the draw. He's got drawn in a double figure box, 10, which slightly concerns me. I'm looking elsewhere, Mark.
Okay,
I'll start with the selection, and it's the top one, Tarouk, who himself is a course winner here at Lingfield. David Barron doesn't send many to Kempton. Greg Gibbons, very much a Barron go-to jockey, is in the saddle. He rattled up 5 consecutive all-weather wins between November last year and March this year, then rang well as he stepped out of handicap company to be placed enlisted. Paid the price, obviously, with the handicapper, but he is now, and he hasn't been running that badly either. It's not as if he's going backwards, he isn't. But he's now within £3 of his last winning mark. And in 3 runs at Kempton, he's 1 second. So he likes the place. He's landed a very sort of workable draw in 7. Good return to the all-weather last time, probably with an eye on this contest. And Tarouk, for me, gets the vote. Common Touch is in great form at the moment, likes it here. Just looking at his overall profile, he has struggled in the mid-90s in the past, although he has gone close a few times. He's hard to overlook in the form he's in, but he just may be vulnerable to something a little bit better handicapped. He's picked up the pieces. He left Richard Fye in 2012, now with Willie Musson, and looked as good, if not better, than ever last time. Hard to dismiss, but just might be vulnerable off that mark of 95. Very interesting runner down at the, well, I say the bottom. There's only just over £12 between top and bottom in this. Atlantis Crossing, trained by Jim Boyle. Graham Lee's been booked to ride another course and distance winner. Got a good strike rate, won a very competitive handicap in March. We didn't see him then for 227 days when he probably just needed the run last month. Again, probably with half an eye on this good prize. It's a nice pot. There's 19 grand in the pot for this, which isn't bad, is it, for a Thursday night in Kempton? And it's only £2 higher than for that very good win at here over course and distance back in March. Only £2 higher, and he rates a big danger to them all, including Tarouk, from his good draw. I'm very much tempted to Dutch those two, Tarouk and Atlantis Crossing, because I'm loath to dismiss him.
Okay, that's fair enough, Mick. Let's have a quick summary of your selections then, if you wouldn't mind.
Yeah, I think Indian Jack would be the nap of the three. I think he looks prime for return to the winner's enclosure after that good effort after all that time off last time in the 6-10. In the 6-40, good race with Open Eagle and Castillo del Diablo, sure to be popular, and both have got great chances as well. But I do think that Lael certainly looked a big improver when he got the better of Tweed at Wolverhampton last time, and off a £6 high amount, Lael gets the vote in the 6-40. And in the 7-10, the class 2 over 7 furlongs, I think Tarouk looks to have been teed up for this by David Barron. And his great record at Kempton sways me towards him. I'm going to throw in a saver on Atlantis Crossing because I do like him as well. And he's too well handicapped, I think, only £2 higher than winning back in March, to ignore. So Tarouk the main selection, but a definite saver on Atlantis Crossing in that 7-10.
OK, good stuff, Mick. Thank you very much. Good luck with those selections and enjoy it on Thursday.
Hope so, Mark. Will do.
So there you go, the thoughts of Mick Norton then on Thursday's racing. Should be a good day to look forward to. Andy Holding, John Babb and Gary Capel will be live on Racing Radio for all of that action. They'll be live from 12:20 p.m. We have Chepstow, Market Raisin and Wincanton in the afternoon, and this very good card at Kempton to look forward to in the evening. Thank you very much for listening to the William Hill Racing Podcast, and enjoy Thursday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.